Hi, I'm Dave O'Neill.
I'm Kitty Flanagan, and we're from the Sweet and Salty Roundabout, also known as
The Junkies. So please tune in. If you're listening to Ingridopedia with Ben and Emily, you'll probably like our show.
Yeah.
We do. We talk about lollies, chips, chocolate.
Yeah. They probably talk about better food than we do. They've a better got some, class of food.
They've got some great episodes here. I've just been having a bit of a listen. Very good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of the ideas. Anyway, whatever.
If you need a sugary break, switch over to The Junkies.
The Junkies, where you find all your podcasts.
Emily, how do you typically consume lamb?
I don't consume a lot of lamb.
No, you don't?
No. Okay. But I went through like a cutlet phase during coronavirus pandemic for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, my family sometimes does like lamb on a spit roast type thing.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, how about you?
My mum is a big fan, and she introduced to me the butterfly lamb shoulder that you get from Aldi.
Oh.
And you throw that on the barbecue.
Okay.
And you leave it for an hour, and when you come back, it's cooked.
Good tip.
There you go. That's free from gas.
And that's not from the microwave. That's odd from her.
She's growing. Hi, you're listening to Ingridopedia, Australia's meatiest food podcast. My name's Ben Birchall, and I'm joined by Emily Naismith. Hello, Em.
Hi, Ben.
We're doing a meaty one.
We are. We're talking about lamb. I'm nervous. Don't cook a lot of it. Let's see how we go.
All right, let's fight.
As mentioned, I feel scared, Ben. I'm out of my depth. So what do I do when I feel scared? I double down.
Yeah, you embrace it.
Yep.
Is this like when you started deep frying everything in your life when you were afraid of deep frying?
Basically. Okay. So I'm going to use the podcast as a coping mechanism to push through it once again. So to challenge myself, I wanted to cook an unusual part of the lamb. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe lamb liver. Have you ever had lamb liver?
Yeah, lamb's fry. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's what it would have been called in my childhood.
Oh, so you had it as a kid?
Yeah, lamb's fry and bacon.
Wow. Okay, because that's what the Jamie Oliver recipe I was going to cook was. It was like onions, bacon, and lamb liver.
Delicious.
And yeah, it sounded pretty good. So I went down to Box Hill, found a butcher that had a sign for lamb liver, asked for it, but they said they were out of lamb liver. Mm. And they were pointing to this other meat product just below it and asking me if I wanted this instead. And I didn't know what it was. There was a bit of a language barrier. They seemed to think that it was, if I want lamb liver, just have this. I'm like, okay, it's like $7.50. That's okay. I'll just buy it and work out what it is later. So what did I buy? Well.
What did you buy?
A little internet search told me, like it said lamb's pluck.
Oh,
have you heard of that before?
I haven't. Is it like a sweetbread type arrangement?
Well, it was quite big.
Oh.
There's a lot going on.
Okay.
So it's actually lamb's pluck is the lamb's internal organs found in the chest cavity.
Oh.
So I got a lamb liver.
This is a lot. Okay. Yep. And you got everything else.
But I also got the windpipe, the lungs and the heart.
Oh my goodness. I have not eaten the lungs or the heart. We used to have lamb's brains as well.
Yeah. I think I've had them before fancy restaurant.
Well, yeah, I've had them at fancy restaurants, but we used to have them in non-fancy just at home.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. Kids of migrants eat some things.
Yeah. Okay.
that the rest of you don't even know about.
Yeah. Well, today it's lungs and heart. And liver and windpipe, okay?
Yeah.
So
okay.
I know
you know about it now.
I know I shouldn't be like squeamish about this kind of thing because like, you know, I'd happily eat a lamb souvlaki any friggin' day of the week, but it's just a lot when you're actually carrying them around
this is a lot.
Shop.
You can feel okay with it being a lot.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because when I got home and put them in the fridge, I just had this overwhelming feeling of dread and anxiety. Just like cast over my whole weekend until I decided, okay, now I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to do the lamb's pluck. So I did a lot of research, not a huge amount of lamb's pluck recipe videos and stuff like that out there, but I did find one from SBS from Made in Italy with Silvia Colocca, where she makes Coratella di Agnello, which is sautéed lamb offal. So I didn't even know what offal was, but it just means organ meat.
It just means the bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The innards.
So you sauté the organ meats with oil, onion, sage and thyme, and then you finish with some lemon.
Okay.
So it actually seemed pretty simple. But the first mental hurdle was getting the lamb pluck out of the bag and all the organs were connected and I just had no idea which organ was which because they all look different to the video and, yeah, I've got a little short recording of me trying to work out which organ's which.
Okay.
This feels very firm. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's the liver. This is like a fucking rock.
That's a heart.
Oh, I assume that's the heart.
Yeah.
Oh, blood's coming out. Yeah, that's the heart. Okay. There's a hole in there. I think that's the esophagus.
I meant windpipe.
Must be the lungs. Oh, man. Oh, I don't like cutting through these freaking pipes.
That's a lot, Em.
The lungs. But that is because the liver is kind of a joy to chop. It's really satisfying. The lungs are quite...
Oh, you're really soaring through that.
Very different texture-wise, and they make me feel sick.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad, that was a lot. My favourite part of that video is that you're wearing a Pizza Hut t-shirt while you're handling offal. Really gives... Gives a kind of a, yeah, a bit of a juxtaposition.
Mm.
Or maybe not. Maybe it's just a new menu item at Pizza Hut.
Exactly. Lamb's They're pretty black. Experimental. So, yes, the lamb's liver was gigantic, like way bigger than the lungs, which I didn't expect. And so once I chopped up all the organs into bite-sized pieces, I realized you have to cook them at different times. So you start with the onions and herbs in the oil for a few minutes. Then you put the lungs in for about 10 minutes or until they whistle. So you got to listen for the whistling because that means the air valves are closing and that means it's time to add the heart. And then you only have to cook the heart for like 2 minutes before you add the liver, cook for another 2 minutes and then – you're done.
Yeah.
You finish with the salt and lemon.
You want to keep it pretty because otherwise they start getting tough.
Chewy. Yeah. And so I did this 2 days ago. So it's been in the fridge and then it's been reheated.
Oh, you just went and reheated something before we recorded. You're going to make me eat something, aren't you?
Yeah. I thought you'd want to eat it. Well, the thing is when I was cooking it, I actually came around and I'm like, this smells really good.
Yeah.
It looks really good. I'm actually really excited about eating it.
Okay.
And even when I was chopping it up, all the kind of, I just like got into it, especially the liver. That was actually fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Your knife just glides through it like butter.
Well,
except
your knife would. Yeah. My knife definitely did not.
Okay. So here's some, it looks good. Okay. Some gray parts.
The gray parts are the, well, these parts are the liver.
Okay, yeah.
The caramelized parts of the lungs.
Okay.
God knows where the heart is.
Okay.
That will be the bit that tastes like a, feels like a rock, I guess. Right.
I'll start with some liver.
Start with what you know.
The devil you know. Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Well, the lungs feeling a little, maybe that's heart. It resisted when I tried to put the fork in.
Yeah, it's probably going to be rubbery as hell.
It's actually really similar to like calamari.
Yeah, yeah, that's
rubbery,
true.
Rubbery but kind of gives. All right, what else have we got here?
The lungs are the caramelized.
I think that's heart.
Yeah, right.
It was darker. That's not pleasant.
But, oh, I forgot to put the squeeze of lemon on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to change everything. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good. What do you serve it with?
Who knows? It's like a Tuscan, you know.
It is actually way better with the lemon.
Yeah, it's really good with the lemon. Because when I was actually in Tuscany, I didn't know what I was ordering at this like farmhouse style restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I got lungs because it had all the windpipe bits that you have like little holes, which really freaked me out. And I didn't eat that much of it.
Okay, so lamb's pluck question. Would you do it again?
That's a loaded question because it was very cheap.
Yeah.
And like economical and like cost of living crisis.
Cozy lives, yeah.
Like I reckon I got like a kilo of organ meats and I only cooked a quarter of that because I just couldn't be bothered chopping up the rest. So this is not zero waste eating by any means, but I probably wouldn't do it again because I would need to cook for other people and I think that they would be freaked out.
Sure.
But if it was like a themed dinner party or something,
yeah,
then maybe.
Okay. And maybe we'll just wait until the economy really tanks and then
yeah,
we'll all
exactly.
be eating lamb's pluck.
Yeah.
You're ahead of the curve.
And I'll try and put a video of the lamb pluck experience on social media this week if you want to look at it. Like it will probably make us lose followers.
We'll
I don't know.
Let's put a content warning on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Emily, you mentioned you don't eat a lot of lamb.
Yeah. I mean, apart from the organs, but yeah.
That potentially makes you a little bit, dare I say, un-Australian.
Oh, yeah.
Because Australians consume 5.81 kilos of lamb per person per year.
I would not get anywhere near that.
UK is a bit under 3.81K, but
yeah.
kilos, but still quite a bit. Mongolia, 66 kilos. That's
yeah, wow.
sheep and goat, but it's a very meat-forward cuisine there.
Yeah.
You know where they don't eat a lot of lamb?
Like Japan or something?
No, the United States.
Okay.
0.43 kilos. So compare that to the 5.81 kilos that we eat.
That's like one serve, really, of a big lamb.
Yeah. Yeah, 400 grams. So 400 grams of lamb per year. And that like...
Yeah, wow.
That'd be like... You could eat that by accident.
Yeah, exactly.
According to the Whole Foods company Holy, who have a big post about sort of meats that aren't quite as popular in the United States, they talk about sheep and they say compared to Europe, sheep can be more expensive to raise in America. They're generally associated with ranching and wool production, but the most popular meats in America are cheap to raise in large feedlots. So they just sort of raise them in pens.
So would that be like beef?
Beef, chicken. Pork, chicken, they're the main three meats in the United States. And because so few states in America initially raised sheep, the cost for lamb meat would be higher. I've read a lot of Reddit threads, people saying, I like it, but I can't find it anywhere. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
And that cost barrier prevented many Americans from even trying it, which means that a lot of people don't make it well, which means, you know, so it's a bit of a cycle. So it's made it difficult for lamb meat to gain popularity in the US. So... The question is, if lamb isn't big in the US, how would the Uber US burger chain McDonald's approach lamb, where it is readily, cheaply available and popular in the rest of the world? I mean, the answer is they approach it cautiously.
Okay.
So in 1999, McDonald's in the UK had the promotional Lamb McSpicy Burger as part of an Indian-themed menu alongside McChicken Korma Naan, which actually sounded... pretty good. It's a korma flavored chicken patty with a crispy coating topped with a mango sauce in naan bread.
But where's the lamb?
That was the McChicken korma naan. The lamb McSpicy had a spicy lamb patty with yogurt and coriander sauce in a sesame seed bun. It was £1.39 from the 26th of May 1999. Looking at a little poster
okay.
for that.
So
that
they were like a double. They were like a team.
They were a team.
Yeah.
They had like a full sort of Indian menu for a month.
Yeah.
Speaking of India, in India... And this will confuse you as well. They have the chicken Maharaja Mac.
Yeah.
I know it's chicken, but bear with me. With a predominantly Hindu population and cows being sacred in Hinduism, when McDonald's first launched their beef tended to be replaced with lamb, including in the Maharaja Mac. Wasn't popular and it's since been replaced with chicken. And they have a more sort of plant and chicken-based menu overall in India. So they've got the McSpicy Paneer or the Butter Chicken Grilled Burger, which again...
God, they sound good.
Sounds pretty good. So that's, you know, lots of lamb eaten in India, lots of lamb eaten in the UK, lots of lamb eaten in Australia, which is where they launched the Serious Lamb Burger.
Yeah.
So this is from a website called Weekend Notes. So it was recent enough, 12 years ago, that the you know contemporaneous websites are still up for a lot of it. Yeah, this is from Weekend Notes. Macca's introduced its Serious Lamb Burger on 15th of August 2012 in one of its biggest launches ever down under. The burger was for a limited time only in a test market for new items. If all went well, the burger could be introduced to the US. Sam Kekovich, who's famous for being on the lamb ads in Australia, who's a popular former AFL player and commentator, was featured in a training film explaining how to construct the new burger, beginning with a 5-inch wheat germ bun as the base, laid with a tomato slice, 3 red onion rings, the lamb patty, an oval cooked egg, 15 mils of tomato ketchup, 14 grams of greens, 20 grams of aioli, a slice of beetroot, and then the bun on top. So that was
sounds
the
delicious.
Also on the menu was the lamb taster, which was a lamb wrap.
It actually sounds like the macaws, but with lamb.
Basically, yeah, I think maybe a different bun as well.
Yeah, so right. Okay.
More like a sort of the bun you used to get on the old Hungry Jack's chicken burgers, like that kind of wheat germ thing.
Oh, which is pretty good. Yeah, okay.
So you say it sounded good. How was it? Let's go to the reviews. This is from the writer from Weekend Notes, said, "A bite of the hefty burger revealed dry, crumbly and stale-like bun over crispy greens and soft tomato and beetroot. The patty was seriously more like a slice of salty and fatty meatloaf with indistinguishable lamb flavour. It could have been any meat." Underneath the article, a lot of user reviews. "The lamb burger left grease all over the wall of my mouth. The only good thing about it, I lost 2 kilos from being sick.
Oh.
Repulsive. Tasted like sausage mince with a supersized serve of fat. Bleck. And my favourite? Seriously terrible." According to Reddit, the Serious Lamb Burger was also available in New Zealand at the same time. And a follow-up story on RNZ shows that it was quietly removed from the menu due to poor demand in May 2013. It seems like the last word on lamb at Macca's is an FAQ response on their UK website dated May 21, 2018. The question, "Do you have any plans to introduce any lamb-based products?" No, we have no plans to introduce a lamb burger to the UK. So when it comes to Macca's, lamb is off the menu.
Yeah, we screwed it up for the rest of the world too.
We really did. We wrecked it.
All right, I've said it before multiple times on this podcast and I'll say it again. Eating a Darryl Lee Nougat egg for breakfast is the best thing about Easter.
Yep, fair.
What's your favourite thing about Easter?
Hot cross buns.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe hot cross buns are better.
Yeah, we got some from the, you know, like a nice sourdough version from the farmer's market on the weekend.
So good.
Kids cracking into them.
Yeah.
When you invent new surfaces just to put more butter on them, you know, all that kind of thing.
So obviously lamb is also a big Easter tradition. I assume it's because like Lamb of God, religious, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Side note, won't go into it, but my mum used to call me Lammy, short for Lamb of God as a kid, my nickname. So really have an affinity to this episode.
Whoa, okay.
So I will be talking about lamb for this fact, Ben, but please note I love a technicality. I feel like I went pretty hardcore meat-wise in my first fact.
You get a pass if this one doesn't have
get some
literal
grace.
Meat
yeah.
in it.
So I'm still talking about a lamb you eat, but not so much the meat version.
Uh-huh.
Talking about a sweet kind of lamb.
Lamb sweetbreads.
No. A dessert lamb. It's a classic Sicilian sweet that looks exactly like a little lamb. Because it's made with marzipan and filled with pistachio paste. And it's made and eaten to celebrate Easter. In Italian, it's called pecorelle di Pasqua or agnelli pasquali, which literally mean Easter lambs. Mm-hmm. So the first time I bought one, I had no idea what it was. I just saw it in the window of a little cake shop on Smith Street and I thought, that looks wild and semi-unhinged. I need to buy that for my family for Easter. So the tradition of these marzipan lambs started in a town called Favara in the south of Sicily. I'm quoting Atlas Obscura. They say, "Culinary lore tells of a now defunct convent in Favara where nuns first molded treats in the 19th century. So traditionally you blanch, peel and grind locally grown almonds for the marzipan.
Okay.
And then for the paste, you obviously make that with pistachios. And they may also scent the mixture with vanilla or lemon zest. Mm. And once the marzipan has been molded, the lambs are painted by hand. So I think that's what gives it the slightly unhinged quality. Makes them look like something I've never seen before. And you'll have to look at our Instagram for a photo. But let me try and describe it. I've got a tiny one here.
Okay.
by saying that they have a kind of grade five art project quality
yeah,
to them.
There's a bit of imperfection.
Yeah.
The eyebrows are very pronounced.
They have very pronounced
That's
eyebrows.
That's on trend.
So the place I usually buy these from is called Smith's Cakes and Aquilana Pasticceria. And it's been there since 1972. And guess what? You can tell. But that's part of its charm and yeah. that's what makes it awesome. But they aren't doing marzipan lambs this year because they couldn't source all the ingredients needed from overseas. And she sounded really upset when I inquired about it.
Yep.
So I do know if you want to get one, you have to go to T. Cavallaro and Sons in Footscray. And that is where we got this little one today. Mm. It's tiny. It's like the size of like, I don't know, a little bar of soap. It actually kind of looks like a bar of soap, but it's like $16. But I think that we should have a little taste of the lamb.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, can I let the listeners behind the curtain a little bit?
Yeah.
I went and picked this up for you today. I didn't know what it was. They wrapped it secretly and then when I got in there, like, are you? I was like, oh, you've got something for Emily. Are you Ben? Okay, yep, you can take it. Very, very nice, the ladies in at T. Cavallaro and Sons.
But I didn't get to surprise you, did I?
Well, the only reason it didn't surprise me, I didn't see what was in the package, but there was – so many of them, big versions of them around the place of these lambs, and to the point where the guy who was ordering a coffee ahead of me was like, what are these things? And they were like, they're for Easter. We do them every year. And they were really proud in describing them. It was really, really nice.
They do look very good, these ones.
It's very marzipan forward.
We spoke about in the almond episode how I'm not the biggest fan of marzipan.
Yep, same.
But since then, I've come around.
Well, that is actually really nice.
It's really nice.
And I think it's got, as you say, like a bit of vanilla.
Lemon
or vanilla or something. Yeah. It's not just straight up marzipan.
Yeah. I don't think it has the pistachio paste, though.
Maybe
in the middle.
Maybe it's in the head.
I don't want to decapitate it. I'll cut them. I feel like such a waste.
I mean, it does feel
I don't think it has the pistachio
no,
taste.
No, I don't think so. There is something strange about buying something so, you know, beautifully made and cute and then just like demolishing it and eating its head, yeah. Which I guess you do with Easter bunnies as well.
Mm.
But that actually was something that some Reddit users talked about in America, why they don't eat lamb, is that let's not sugarcoat it. Lambs are cute.
They are pretty cute.
They're very, very cute creatures. Mm. It's hard to eat cute creatures for some people.
Yeah.
But we're just doing it right now, ripping straight into that marzipan head and just eating its massive eyebrows.
Yeah. I reckon the eyebrows will taste really good. Let's go.
Emily, I feel like we've talked a lot about how particularly Aussie lamb is, you know, and it's something that's been equated to Australia Day in the past, although they're trying to move away from that because of the contentiousness around the fact that it's the only national day that celebrates the dispossession of Indigenous people. Anyway, not to get political with it, but there is something kind of old-fashioned about lamb.
Yeah.
You know, if I think about lamb, I think about the roasts that my grandma made, all my grandmas are Aussie, so my Aussie grandmas would make lamb. Friends' grandmas roasts and like drippings in pan. It's like it's a real kind of, it feels like maybe a bit wartime even.
Oh, fuck.
Like the kind of food you might have eaten during the Great War of 1914 to 18, also known as World War I.
Okay.
What's something that I often talk about during wartime, Emily?
As in when you talk about wartime.
When I talk about wartime from a food perspective.
Rationing.
I talk about rationing. You're right.
Okay.
Look, you've been listening. This is amazing. While Australians didn't have formal rationing during World War I, there was significant pressure to be frugal and direct resources to the war effort. I've dipped back into my good friend at the Australian Food History Timeline. She's pulled out a story from the Adelaide Advertiser during World War I that says, extravagance merits condemnation in periods of peace like the present. It becomes a crime as dangerous as that of high treason. So there's a big pressure to not consume so much. Don't be sort of excessively showy with what you're consuming. Which brings us to a recipe that our good friend at the Australian Food History Timeline has dug up. It's called sandwich pie.
Yep. Okay. It was published. So is this like a kind of thing where lamb's too expensive, so they make something else look like lamb?
So yes, lamb did become very expensive during World War One. Although there's a quote in that article that says, "I'm only eating meat once a day now."
Yeah.
So you know, we still ate a lot of meat, but it was lamb's expensive. You shouldn't be using it. You should be directing your money towards the war effort. You should be saving resources. So this is where the sandwich pie came in. It was published in the Adelaide Chronicle, November 10, 1917. This is the literal recipe. Pass any meat sandwiches through the mincing machine, add some gravy, cover with cold mashed potatoes, bake till brown and serve hot.
Wow.
So not just leftover lamb. Like I often make, you know, use up leftover lamb roast to make a tagine or to put in like a shepherd's pie, like you sort of mince it up or you chop it up or you just, you know, re-cook it until it turns into a sort of mincemeat sort of variation.
Yeah, but this is with the bread.
This is the whole sandwich. So it's basically the same.
And then there's no pastry.
No.
The
bread is in. Mm. How about I just get one out for you that I made earlier?
How about you don't?
Emily, okay. That is a sandwich pie.
Is this what you call a casserole? I don't know what casseroles are.
Casseroles will genuinely be a bit like a more of a sort of meat with a kind of gravy type sauce type vibe with it.
Okay.
It's kind of got, so I'll tell you what I did. Had a roast last night, had roast lamb shoulder on the barbecue, but you know, with roast veggies and whatnot, and got the leftover lamb, sliced it thinly, put it between two very, very white pieces of white bread, because I imagine that's what was around in 1917. I put a little bit of mustard in it, like a seeded mustard. I felt like that was something that might have been around. Maybe if I'd had some Branston pickle, I would have done that. I didn't have anything like that.
So you branched out further than the recipe.
A little bit, but then you got to imagine it was, you know, it's a leftover sandwich. So what would you put in a lamb sandwich? You put some pickle in there. You might put some mustard in there.
Yeah.
Buttered the bread. Mm. And then I put those sandwiches in the blender.
God.
Because I didn't have a mincing machine.
That would have been a very confusing time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just sort of like a dry, almost like breadcrumbs with meat through it.
Yeah.
Put that into a casserole dish. So I guess this is a casserole.
Yeah.
We made it in a casserole dish. And then poured in some gravy.
Yeah.
And then you mix up the slurry with the gravy.
Why are we always slurrying on Ingredipedia?
And it turns into it felt like a kind of bready sort of bread and gravy sort of slurry, and then put some mashed potatoes on top and put it in the oven. And then when I got it out of the oven, like 20 minutes later, just to brown the potato and heat it through, it kind of turns into meatloaf.
Yeah. So meatloaf is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So
have a dig at the consistency.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay. Okay.
She's going in.
They have very similar consistency, the meat part and the potato part.
Yeah, it's stodge. Like, there's not a lot, like, it's all the same consistency.
Yeah. It doesn't taste bad.
It's not bad. You know what? It could use, like, a bit of relish.
Yeah.
Or a pickle or something. And maybe if I hadn't put the, one thing I was noticing is that the mustard, I used, like, a seeded mustard and it came through.
Mm.
And that's the only, because there's no other, like, you know, I didn't add any salt because that was already in the gravy.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't taste as meaty as you'd expect it to because of the bread.
Yeah.
So it just is like an overall blandness of the meat. Like
But it really stretched. I mean, that was two sandwiches and that was enough to feed a whole family again.
Yeah, well.
So
we need to do a frugal cost of living like crisis.
Well, yeah,
type
I mean, this would definitely
wartime
this would definitely
extravaganza.
I reckon that would almost go head to head with the lamb's pluck, maybe.
Yeah.
Look, I will say I fed it to my family to see if this is something I could cook for them, and my son said, "What a waste of sandwich." Mm. So that was the review from my house.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with a sandwich. Like, you don't really need to put it in the blender.
Yeah, maybe just,
maybe just take the sandwich and have a side of mashed potato.
Okay, that was the lamb episode. Put a warning on it now, put a warning on it later. It got pretty meaty. What did we talk about?
Well, I cooked a lamb's pluck, just all the organs in one. There you go. And I also looked into little cute marzipan lambs for Easter.
And I looked into the history of the Serious Lamb Burger, RIP, and made sandwich pie,
kind
of lamb roast.
So you can vote for whose yum facts you found the most interesting on our Instagram. It's Ingridipedia. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.